longest chapter in the Bible. Amen. Going to verse 97. Let's go to verse 97 tonight. Tonight in the Word of God here. And let's go ahead and read I think it's eight verses here, but I'm going to focus on verse 97. Let's go ahead and read all of them here tonight. The Bible says in verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." Now, when I hear that, I'm thinking, well, they are ever with me. Is that the enemies or the commandments? Probably both, but he's probably referring to the commandments, but they're both forever with him. Verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." I know a lot of kids that think that too, right? "For thy testimonies are my meditation." Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." But back to verse 97. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And I want to just preach to you tonight on the thought, do we love God's word? Do we love God's word? And let's pray. God, guide and direct us tonight, we pray. And I give us strength and guidance as we go through this evening. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. David the psalmist, whenever he wrote this, it is the longest chapter. And it is wholly focused on the word of God. It's wholly, completely focused on appreciation for the word of God. Right? So he says here, "Oh, how I love thy law." And he uses different words. It could be law, it could be commandments, it could be statutes, it could be precepts, thy word, and all that. But every time it's a reference to the word of God. And he said he loved the law of God. He said, "It is my meditation. It's what I think about. It's what I study on. It's what I mull over in my mind throughout the day." So he's pretty serious about learning the word of God and loving the word of God and learning to love the word of God. And that's what we need to do, amen? And to love the Word and love our Bible. In the first Psalm, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And therein doth he meditate day and night." So you see the same theme there, delighting in the Lord, in the Word, loving the Word, and definitely meditating in the Word. And that could be thinking on it, that could be studying it, that could be hearing it preached and taught, that could be memorizing it and thinking about it throughout the day. Now this world, you know, this world despises the Word of God. They scorn it, they mock it, they don't like it, they don't want anything to do with it, they don't want to go hear it preached, they don't want to read it. What little bit they have read, they criticize, and they read it out of context, and they try to twist the words of God and all of that. And that's the devil's doing, by the way, right? I mean, from the very beginning, yea, hath God said, he's always cast doubt upon the word of God. The world hates it. The world runs from it. The world just does everything that to say that we reject it. We don't appreciate it. We don't want the thoughts of God or any of that. Isn't that a sad thing? But believers learn it and love to learn it, right? Believers realize that we need the word of God. Somebody said a while back, well, you've already read it. You know, you read it one time. Why you got to keep reading it? They don't understand. It's food for your soul. They don't understand. It's a living book. That's why the Lord said, study it, read it, love it, meditate upon it, and preach it. That's why God calls preachers and has churches and says, assemble together, get around the Bible, open my Bible together and preach the word. Isn't that what God wants? I love preaching, by the way. I do love, you say you love to preach. I love preaching too, also, amen? And different types of preaching or preachers and all of that. But I do love preaching. But this right here ought to be our main book. Now, I have a library. I have a lot of books. I've tried to scale down. And, so, you know, I got a book problem, book buying problem. I do. Y'all pray for me about that. Some of these other guys have problems with other stuff, but guns and things of that nature. My thing is books, Christian books, and I'm always trying to get rid of books and trying to scale down, and then I'm like, all them empty shelves are filled up again. What am I doing, you know? But I do this stuff, and I love these books, and these are books about the Bible is what I have. And the crazy thing is, I'm not a big reader. You know that? I'm really not a big reader. I don't get books that I'm going to read through. I get books that I read in and study in and reference books, but I get a lot out of them. I'll say that. I shouldn't say. When I say that, I do read. I'm reading all the time. I'm just not like reading through something. I'm just, you know, I'll get interested in something, and then I'm interested in something else, you know. But I'm always studying in the Word of God. It helps me. And what it helps me with, it helps me with the latter part of the verse, which is meditating upon it, learning it, right? Getting to know the Bible, getting familiar with the Bible. But what I'm saying here is that we might have a lot of books about the Bible, and we might enjoy those books about the Bible, but we can never let any book replace the Scriptures, the Bible, right? Those books might help us meditate. Those books might help us learn. But those books cannot, if we get caught up just with books about the Bible and not the Bible, our soul's going to starve like that, isn't it? So we need to always distinguish between that and understand the Scriptures is what he learned to love. Spurgeon said in his great commentary on the Psalms, the treasury of David, he said this about this verse. He said, the meditation on it is evidence of his love for it. His meditation upon it is evidence of his love for it. You don't think about things all day long, and you know, unless you're interested in those things and love those things, right? And that's what he's talking about. That treasure, that set of books, by the way, I've had it before in like a 3-volume. My parents have the really old, nice 7-volume set of the Treasury of David, which is his whole work on the Psalms. It's a masterpiece. He spent like half his life doing it. Charles Spurgeon, I'm talking about. My parents have it. I've asked them for it several times. Last time I was home, I brought it up again, and my mom was like, I still read those. I still use those. You will get them one day, you know, that type of thing. I was like, well, thank God I can get them on a computer right now because I don't have the set I used to have for some reason. But anyway, I'll get those one day, she says. But we'll see about that. But I'm glad they're still using them. Amen. But this is the longest chapter. It is all about the Bible. It is all about his love and appreciation for the Word of God. Amen. We're glad for that. Let me give you a few thoughts tonight on this subject. Let's love God's Word because it is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration from God and is profitable, right? Inspired, it is God spoken. It is God breathed is the idea. It is the Word of God. We understand this book is not just a good book. It's not the good book. It is the Word of God. Amen? Right? And we need to know that and understand that. That it is the Bible, it is the Word of God. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning God. Isn't that a wonderful way for God to start His Word? He didn't start His Word out with a debate. He didn't start His Word out trying to prove Himself. He just said, in the beginning God. That's how your Bible starts. The start, it just starts with the start of all things. In the beginning. Well, that's eternity past. You know how long God's been around? I was thinking about this the other day. My son Clint in South Carolina, he just got engaged, by the way, and he's gotten engaged, and he's going to have a soon-to-be stepson. He's 7 years old. His name's Colton. So they called me last week because Colton had he knew I was a preacher, he had a God question. So they had to call me so he could ask his God question, right? And his God question was, as only kids can do, who made God? And I said, that's a big question for a little kid. Isn't that amazing how kids do that, right? My God question is, who made God? And then you're like, well, God is God. I mean, God's been here forever, you know, and God's eternal. And, you know, God made everything there is. And God's always been, and God made us. God made an earth, put us on it, and so that we could know Him and He could love us, right? And that's, you say, well, and by the way, I did ask him to understand that. And he said, no. And I want to say, I don't either anymore. But no, it is, as our preacher preached last week, we, as Christians, we believe the unbelievable. But we believe it because it is God. Amen. It is God. So the Bible just starts with the start of all things, which is God. It is the inspired word of God. It came from God. We know what we know about anything and everything. Like we even talked this morning about work. It's in the Bible. I told several folks as they were going out this morning, you know, all that work you've been doing, all that hard work you've been doing, it's in the Bible. Keep it up. Amen. It's in the Bible. It's, you know, so, you know, why do I have to go to work? It's in the Bible. We learn all these things. Salvation we learn. The love of God we learn. The where you know, the big question, where are we going after we leave here? We learn it. Why? Because God wrote a book. And it is inspired. It is the law of God, the word of God, the commandments of God, the precepts of God. It came not from man, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the author of the book. Amen. It is the inspired word of God. I'm thankful we have it. You know, you would think the world would be grateful that God gave us a book. You would think the world would be grateful that God wrote a book so that we could know Him. But yet, what do? They come up with theories and ideas and craziness about how there is no God and everything there is came about, you know, by a big accident and, you know, it all came out of nothingness and, you know, all of that. No, there had to be something and there was someone is what it was. And God gave us His Word. We ought to love the Bible because it is inspired. What we're saying is, we love the Bible because it is the Word of God to us. It is the Word of God for the world. It is the Word of God to mankind. This is no ordinary book. This is a living book. This is the eternal book. Amen? It is the Word of God. So we ought to love and appreciate this book, the Bible. When nobody else does, we understand the Bible is the Word of God. If the Bible says it, that used to mean something. That used to carry weight, didn't it? Back when people respected it as the Word of God. Back when the general public regarded it as the Word of God. And then you could say, the Bible says. And that meant something. It's sad that we're getting to the point to where it doesn't mean a whole lot to the general population. But us, it ought to mean something to us, and we ought to love this book. Amen? We ought to love it. So we love it because it's inspired. Let me say this, number two, we love it because it convicts sinners. Here's the big problem. The world doesn't want anything to do with it. The world doesn't love it. Jesus said in John 3, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So man, like, well, the Word of God is the light of God. I don't want to hear that. It tells me I'm a sinner. But I said we love it because it convicts sinners. Aren't you glad there was a day this book convicted your heart and convinced you that you were a hell-bound, hell-bent, hell-deserving sinner and that Jesus made a way for your salvation? Amen? It convicted your heart to where you realize it was from God and God was right about it. The Bible says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. It looks deep within our soul and it convicts us and convinces us that it is what it is. It is the Word of God and that God Almighty loves us. But because of the fact that He's a holy, just, righteous God, He needs to do something about our sin. And He did. Amen? But it convicts us. It lets us know we've come short of God and we've displeased God. We've disobeyed God. We've sinned against God. I'm glad there was a day it convicted my heart. I'm glad there was a day. That's why when you're witnessing to people, use the scriptures. Amen. The Bible will do the convicting. The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said these words are life and spirit. Amen. And that's what will do it. A preacher said years ago, he spoke to about 800 university students in a state university, and he was asked not to mention the Bible. That would be offensive. He said the same afternoon, he spoke in a state penitentiary to hundreds of men there, and the warden begged him to please use the Bible. Isn't that amazing? You can't get it in school, but they'll give it to you when you get to the prison, was the idea. Now, we need it way before that. Amen? But either way, wherever it is, it has the power to convict. Because we get a glimpse of the holy, righteous God in His Word, and then we get a glimpse of ourselves. And we're sinners who need His forgiveness. Amen? I'm glad that is the message of the Bible, right? God sent His Son, and His Son will change our life if we'll let Him. He convicts us of that. Let me say this. Love God's Word, number three, because it guides the Christian. It guides the Christian. That's not going to guide the world because they don't want to read it. It's not going to guide the world because they don't want to acknowledge it. But you ought to understand, you ought to love this Bible because it wants to give you guidance and it will give you guidance. Amen? And whenever I say that, I'm not just talking about principles for daily living. Now, you'll get that as you have your devotions. The Word of God will shine light on some things, and it will some things will jump off the page at you as you read your devotions or you read Scripture every day. It will give you guidance. It will answer some prayers. It will show you the direction you need to go on some things because God will give you the right verse at the right time, right? But what I'm talking about right now is just in general, the Bible tells us what we need to know and guides us. We know who God is. We know what God is like. We know what God loves. We know what God hates. We know what pleases God. We know what displeases God. We just know God because we know His Word. And when you just know that, it's going to guide you through your life. I always say the will of God, God's not hiding the will of God. 99% of it is just right there in print if we just read it. That's what I'm talking about. It will guide us if we will just let it guide us and we'll meditate on it and we'll think about it. It will help us. Now, David, you know, now he's not talking about it right here, but you know that David later on, because here he says, I've kept all your commandments. Well, we know there was a day when he didn't keep the commandments. And David sinned and sinned grievously, and David committed adultery, and David committed murder, but David knew that it was a sin because he had the law of God. He knew right from wrong. He knew that he had done wrong. He knew that it was a problem. He knew that God was disappointed. That's why he lived in misery for those years. Why? Because the Bible was guiding him. Now, he wasn't letting it guide him at that point in his life, but he knew he shouldn't have done that. It convicted his conscience, right? And it helped him to know. So you know, theology is the best thing to know. I said this morning, people know a lot of stuff. People know a lot of things. Some people just know, you know, I've had people say, boy, I got a lot of useless knowledge up here, you know. But I just know all this stuff. You know, I've had people say, I know things, I don't know why I even know these things, you know. But you know a lot of things. But you know, theology is the study of God. Theology, the study of God, is the best thing we ought to know. We need to know about God because we need to know God. And we need to know what pleases God. So the psalmist was saying here, I meditate on the Word of God. I think on the Word of God. And I get to know God and the ways of God and the will of God, the wisdom of God, he says, because he talked there about having more understanding than his enemies, having more understanding even than the ancients, he said. That's interesting. You know, younger generations today, that they think they know more than folks of yesteryear, right? We're smarter today than they were 100 years ago in America. Did y'all know that? Okay. In some respects, obviously we know things they didn't know back then. But in some respects, we're a whole lot dumber with the more stuff we know. Y'all with me tonight? Amen? The more stuff we think we know, the dumber we really get. Be nice to have those folks from 100 years ago around to teach us some things today. Amen? But what he's talking about here is, he says, I know more than the ancients. Well, you know what, tonight, folks, we have David's writings, but we have more than he had. He had the law of God. He had the law of Moses. But today we have David's writings. We have the prophet's writings. We have the gospel writings. We have the apostles' writings. We have more than he had. We have the completed Word of God. So in that sense, you and I tonight do know more than the ancients. We even know more than David. Because a lot of things that were mysteries to David and the prophets, Paul the Apostle talked about unfolding the mysteries in the New Testament. And all the types and shadows that were there, we do know more. Hey, are you grateful that you got the Bible? Amen? That you have the Word of God. Theology is the study of God. Thank God that we've got all these nuggets of truth and all these principles for our daily living and all this divine direction. And we can read our Bible and we can learn new things and we can be reminded of old things and we can be directed in our daily life. But we've been enlightened because the Bible is our light. Jesus is the Word and Jesus is the light. Thank God you're not in darkness anymore. You don't have to be, ought not be. The world doesn't have to be. Why? Because we have the Bible. And we love the Bible tonight, number three, because it guides. Let me say this. We love it, number four tonight, because it comforts the Christian. And now, I don't have a whole ton of verses here for you, but there's a whole ton of verses here in the Bible that we could talk about. Old Testament and New Testament. There's a lot of comfort in the Bible. Isaiah and Jeremiah. There's a lot of harsh things in there, but there's a whole lot of comfort in there too. Amen? Right? You get reading those verses and what God says to His people. You know, this is a wicked, evil, vile, dangerous world, perilous times that we're in today. The world needs some comfort, but I'm glad to say tonight the Christian has it because he has the Word of God. I love thy law. I meditate therein. How much? All the day long, he said. The psalmist talked about meditating therein day and night. He said here all the day long. Folks, we've got the Word of God. It will help us. It will comfort us. Did it tell you about salvation? Did it tell you about heaven? Did it tell you about the return of Christ? Did it tell you about the rapture? Did it tell you about mansions up in heaven? Did it tell you about supplying your needs? Did it tell you about I never leave you nor forsake you? Did it tell you about you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you? We find comfort as we read the Word of God. We ought to, amen. We ought to get comforted in the Word of God. You say, well, it's got all them stories. Yeah, read them. Read about those families. Read about those situations. Read about those circumstances that those people went through and all the things that God did to bring them through it. Read the story of Esther. Read the story of Ruth, right? Read about Abraham. Read about Joseph. Read about in the book of Acts about the apostles and Peter and Paul and all the things that the Lord did to bring them through all the stuff they went through in their life. It's for us today, right? That's why the Bible does say this. Now these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Aren't you glad you got the Bible tonight? The Word of God. We can learn from their mistakes. We can learn that they were forgiven. We can learn that God aided them and helped them and brought them through some things and weaved into their circumstances His will and His purposes. You know, the Bible, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? The more you read the Bible, the Scriptures feed your soul, right? But also the more you read the stories of the Bible, don't you love the Bible stories? And I'm not talking about fairy tales, I'm talking about real, true, historical accounts, right? That's what it is. And as you read through those Bible stories, it will build your faith because God is saying to you, what I did for them, I'll do for you. Oh, it may not be in that same fashion, may not be in that same situation. But the fact that I was with them, I was for them, I helped them. And Paul said, hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? Get comfort from the Bible. Get in the Bible. Get in the Word of God. Let it strengthen you. Let it help you. That verse there, all these things happen to them for examples written for your admonition. About two verses later, he said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Right? And he said, he's going to make a way of escape. We learn that from reading their stories. And we learn that if we'll have the patience of a Joseph or a Job and just trust God, He'll bring us through some things. Amen? Why did God tell us to read it and study it and meditate on it and preach it in our churches? Because He knows we need guidance and He knows we need comfort. Let the Word of God comfort and strengthen you and help you. Someone has said, lay hold on the Bible till the Bible lays hold on you. I think that's a pretty good plan right there. Amen. I said a little bit ago, turn to Psalm 119, just go to any verse. Yeah, you know, a preacher once said, you know, go to any verse. They're all good, right? I heard one preacher say, he said, I get up and I just keep reading and reading and reading until I'm not nervous anymore, and then I'll stop and start preaching, you know. And sometimes might not be a bad plan. Amen. Just get to a certain point and say, hey, let's stop and talk about this right here. That's why when I read the Bible in church, especially my opening text, I try not to read it with comment, but sometimes I can't help it, but to make a comment like I did tonight. But sometimes we just need to let the Word of God speak for itself, amen? And let it deal with our hearts, right? But the thoughts that you have as you go through it, and the thoughts that you read from other men, perhaps in a Bible, in a book about the Bible, a commentary, or a preacher gives you, in other words, and they're going to help you. They're going to comfort you. They're going to guide you. They're going to strengthen you, right? Thank God for the Word of God. That's why he said he loved it. He said it's inspired. It convicts the sinner. It guides and comforts the Christian. Let me say this, number five. You ought to love it because it confronts the world. It confronts the world. Now, I already said the world hates the Bible. They scoff at it. They mock it. They scorn it. They dismiss it. But yet the Bible keeps confronting them, and there's nothing they can do to get rid of it. I mean, the world has tried so many times to get rid of the Bible, and here it is. Boy, there it is again. They think, man, I moved away from my family in the Bible Belt, and I came up here, and next thing you know, they're working with a Christian who's witnessing to them. Isn't that amazing? Boy, and they find a gospel tract or somebody inviting them to a church, trying to get away. But yet, the Bible confronts the world. Now, you know the Bible talks about in Revelation 18, it talks about Babylon. Babylon there, the fall of Babylon is a picture of the world. You know, the Lord talked about love, not the world, right? We're not supposed to love this world. We're not to love this system of this world that the devil runs, right? Love not the world. I love chapter 18 of Revelation where it talks about how Babylon the Great is going to fall. This system that is against God, they think they're going to get away with it. They're not getting away with anything. I've already read chapter 18 of Revelation. They're not getting away with it. And the Bible says there, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Hey, they love this world with all its vile, wicked elements about it, and they're going to weep and mourn when God crumbles this system. You know that's going to happen. God's the winner in the end of this thing. Amen, right? I love the Bible because it confronts sinners. No matter what they try to do, they can't get rid of it. One boy testified that he was made to memorize verses when he was a kid. Well, he went out and did his own thing. He went out and got away from church, got out in the world, got himself into trouble. But you know what he couldn't get away from when he laid down at night? All them Bible verses he had been made to memorize when he was a kid. They kept coming back. They kept confronting him. They kept convicting him. I'm glad the Bible just keeps right on confronting the world. The Bible's not going anywhere. The world is, right? And the Bible, doesn't it say that? The world, not the Word of God, but the world's going to pass away. The world passes away, the lust thereof. That's what he was describing there in Revelation 18. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. They say, you're the fool. Well, God said, the fool is the one who has said in his heart, there is no God. And verses like that just keep coming back at them. The truth of the Word of God will just keep coming back at them. God says he shall have them in derision. The Bible says God gets the last laugh. Amen. Now look, God is not in the business of laughing at the world. God is not happy about their mockery and their rejection. He's not happy about it. But God, there's no way to win over God. There's no way to win against God. I love this Bible because I know this is the solid rock we can stand upon forevermore. Amen? We know that its truths are forever. And one day some folks are going to really wish they had believed that because they were taught that too. And they're going to wish they had gone along with that. So it confronts the world. And then let me just say this one. Love God's Word, number six, because it promises victory to the believers, which is what I just said. The world passes away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Aren't you glad that through the Bible, folks, we can overcome death, hell, and the grave? Amen. We can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil by simple faith in the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Simple faith in the Word of God. We can get all of that done. Somebody has said you ought to know it in your mind, stow it in your heart, show it in your life, and sow it in the world. And by the way, Christians like this and churches like this and missionaries that we support, sowing it in the world is one reason they can't get rid of the Bible. They'd love to get rid of a church, all the churches. You know, it's coming today. The rapture is going to happen, and they're going to find themselves without the Bible and without the church and without the Spirit of God, and they're not going to like it very much, right? They're not going to like it. They think they're going to like it. They're not going to like that at all. Do we love God's Word? He said, I love it. He said, I meditate upon it all the time. It's what I think about. The world thinks about a lot of things minus God. Romans 1 talks about how they would not retain God in their knowledge. Get that out of my mind. The believer says here, I love it and I'll meditate upon it all the day. And the world says, not going to retain that in my mind. I don't need that. I don't want that. And they try to just get rid of it. But yet it keeps confronting them because there's some Christian around the corner somewhere, right? Boy, it makes them so mad. You say, preacher, that's why I don't want them in. That's why I don't invite them to church. That's why I don't witness to them sometimes, because I know they're going to get mad about it. Hey, the Bible's just going to keep confronting them. You're on the winning side. Just remember that. Amen? And it might keep confronting them through you. But you, it promises you victory. Victory in the end. Don't worry about death. Don't worry about hell. Don't worry about the grave. You've been promised victory over all that. Don't worry about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, you've been promised victory over all that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you love the Bible? Do you love the Word of God tonight? For all these reasons and more that we've talked about here tonight. There was a series of articles in Saturday Evening Post years ago by Robert Vogler, and he said in his experiences during imprisonment by communist powers, he repeatedly asked for a Bible. Didn't get one for a long time. He said, I was allowed to have other books. He said, I read all the books by Dickens. He said, many of the novels of Dickens, especially Oliver Twist, were so depressing, I could only read them once. He said, finally I got a Bible. And in spite of certain depressing chapters in it, well, I said last week, the Bible can make us uncomfortable sometimes, right? That's interesting. He said, well, there's some depressing chapters in it. He said, but it gave me great solace overall. I know now that if I were ever marooned on a desert island, the Bible is the one book above all of others that I would want to have in my possession. You believe that tonight? You feel that way? The Word of God. The Word of God. There's a book. A man wrote it years ago. It's a big, thick book. I have it, of course. And I heard Dr. Clarence Sexton say one time that it's called The Unfolding Drama of Redemption. It just opens up the Bible. I heard Dr. Clarence Sexton say that statement one time. He said, if I was ever marooned on an island and I could only have one book besides the Bible, he would pick that one. Because it was just such a, he's saying, I want the Bible, but this one is such a good book about the Bible, you know. And so if he could have two books, he knew which ones he would have. Have you ever thought about that? If I'm on the Isle of Patmos and I'm put off, you know, by myself, and I could have two books or one book. Well, if the choice is only one, it better be the Bible. Amen. Better be the Word of God. That's the only thing that will sustain us in such a time as that, or any many many times. Let's learn it, and let's learn to love it. Thank God. I already said it. The world should be grateful to have God's Word. They're not, but we ought to definitely be grateful that we have God's Word tonight. Amen? You know, there are countries, by the way, there are closed countries that are closed to the gospel, closed to the Bible. You know, there are missionaries who smuggle Bibles in at risk to their life. And they tell us that those people over there, many times in those places, they don't want to desecrate the Bible, but if you'll give them one page out of it, they are thrilled. Can you imagine if you only had one page of the Bible? And by the way, they'll pass that around. They'll do that. They'll memorize it. They'll learn it. They'll pass it around. Can you imagine if you only had one page? I've got several copies. Well, probably all of us have several copies of the Bible. We have Bibles all through these pews out here. If you don't have a Bible, take a Bible. We'll replace it, right? But can you imagine not having access to the Scriptures? Well, how about this? We have access to it, but we don't read it. We don't meditate on it. We don't study it. We don't learn it. Let's not let that happen to us. Let's learn it, and let's learn to love it. Amen? That's what he said right there in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. And there's other verses for it, by the way. It is my meditation all the day. Do we love the Bible, the Word of God? Would you bow your heads with me this evening, please?